Hello and welcome to the Endless Possibilities podcast. My name is Garrett Dignam, and I'm joined today by my good friend and co-host Eva Muller. Hi, Eva.
Hi, Garrett.
Hello, good to see you. Hello. Today's guest, we have Trina Sheeran on. Hello, Trina.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Trina. Hello.
Hello. So, just to give a little bit of background on Trina, Trina is a world-class clinical and spiritual hypnotherapist specializing specifically in QHHT, level three, and life between lives, regression therapy, and healing the mind. She is also a fully qualified and accredited trainer and provides training, mentoring, and also talk therapy sessions to clients and students around the world who have studied coaching, psychotherapy, and CBT, in addition to her holistic modalities. She has spent years studying and working in past life regressions to transform trauma, and also now specializes in people's awakening and consciousness. Hello, welcome
That's a
to the show, Trina.
mouthful. That's a mouthful.
We did it.
Yeah, thank you for having
Wow.
me. Pleasure. Yeah, I'm one of these people
Yeah.
that loves to study, and really, my background is pure sciences and IT. So I like to quantify everything I do. I like to research before I settle on what I feel works, you know.
So we're going to have a lot of fun today. This is a topic that both Eva and I are very interested in, and yeah, we have some great questions. Eva, is there anything you want to add before we get straight in?
Yeah, it would be great if you can share a little bit about how this all came into your life experience, like all these trainings and all everything you're offering at the moment. So maybe you can share a little bit about the background and your story. That would be great.
Sure, yeah. I'm one of these people that got dragged kicking and screaming into what I do. I resisted it like every single turn. So I kind of grew up in a family, I suppose, and in the 80s, 90s, where, we were kind of encouraged to go to college and get a job and all of this kind of stuff. So I did love sciences, and I loved, I wanted to be a doctor, but I'm certainly not studious enough to be a doctor. So I went into pure sciences, wanted to be a biologist. And when I got pregnant, they wouldn't allow me in the lab to continue my pure virology. So I left and did IT. And then I did really, really well in it, actually, in the corporate world. I ended up working for Ryanair Hotels, Dell Computers, all of this kind of stuff. But just because you're good at something, it doesn't mean you're meant to do something. So the more I was in there, I got sicker and sicker and sicker. And blood pressure started getting crazy. But as a little girl, I was always, I suppose, what I call now intuitive, or what my mum would call sensitive. And I always had a sense of something more. I could see and sense. I just didn't understand it. I was doing my runes and doing tarot cards and stuff like that at the age of 12, 13. So it was always into something really a little bit different. So I suppose the black sheep of the family, this kind of thing. So yeah, I was in my corporate work. I got pregnant with my beautiful baby daughter, and I went into renal failure, and I started dialysis, little prem baby, couldn't go back to work. And what it did is it forced me into pausing and stopping me being on that rat race or the hamster wheel, that we all are in. So yeah, it brought me into a sense of life, death. I didn't know how long I was going to live. I had milestones. Like, I remember just wishing I could see my daughter's first birthday and my son's communion. I remember thinking, I just want to see then his 10th birthday. I just want to see her second birthday. I want to see her walk. I want to live. So that's what I lived for many, many years, just little tiny milestones, one day at a time. I was on dialysis. I was going into hospital every second day, had all my blood drained out, all my blood drained back in. And yet it's really interesting because I really, really found myself during that time. I remember lying in a hospital bed thinking, there has to be more to life. There has to be more to life than just working, paying the bills, coming home. Has to be more. And I started reflecting back on some mindfulness training that I did in Bali when I was 24. I became started reading more like Eckhart Tolle and The Power of the Now, Art of Happiness, started getting back into kind of Buddhism, I suppose. So that was what I kind of call my first awakening, is when I was really, really sick. And then fast forward 11 years on dialysis, I'm really excited. And I got my kidney transplanted, just a miracle of life. And then unfortunately, at the same time, my husband died very suddenly with a heart attack. So that's when I had a massive big awakening. So I really was desperate to have definitive proof that life existed after death. I just couldn't, and I mean, I couldn't rest until I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be okay. And I started researching everything. I started reading a book a day. I didn't sleep. I was just absolutely obsessed with the subject of the afterlife. And then that rippled into metaphysics, metaphysical anatomy, how we store emotions and thoughts in our body, and the whole picture of why I became sick and who I am as a little girl, and my senses of everything and life and death and the afterlife all started becoming a lot more clearer to me. I went all around the world studying with the best of the best of the best. It wasn't just good enough for me just to study the spiritual aspect of something. I also needed to understand, how do they communicate with us? How can we make ourselves sick? How do we store trauma in the body? How does the mind work? How does the body work? How does our spirit and soul wrapped in all of that work? So I started looking at things like psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, psychology. I started looking at healing energy, healing Reiki. And then I really, really, really was fascinated in the soul or the soul's journey and this idea of past lives and even current life. So I know it sounds like there's an awful lot in there, but actually it's all the same thing. You know, we're not the sum of our parts, we're the sum of many, many parts. Through all of that research, development, training, I started connecting back to, I suppose, meaning of life, why I was here, of my purpose. And I gained so much healing through my grief. I was just obviously devastated when he died. My kids were devastated, his friends, his family. It's such a shock. He was so healthy, you know, he turned 41 the week before. And it's almost like I couldn't even appreciate life. I couldn't appreciate this kidney because I was just riddled with grief. And oh, it just gave me so much healing knowing that he wasn't just surviving after this physical life, he was thriving. And that we were never truly alone, you know. But that led me on to what is he doing? So if he's still alive but not in a physical body, how is he spending his time? What's he doing? So I came across Dr. Michael Newton, who wrote various books such as Journey of Souls, who specialized in researching who we are in the afterlife or between lives, and also Dolores Cannon and Brian Weiss. So Dolores Cannon is a researcher. She was a researcher of hidden knowledge, what she calls knowledge that we're hiding in our brain, and she was the expert in quantum consciousness. And then Michael Newton was the expert in the afterlife and soul regression. And Brian Weiss was very good at past lives. So I really started focusing on that because in there I know I found a lot of healing, and then my clients ended up getting a lot of healing. So I dropped the psychotherapy, dropped the CBT, dropped kind of get some aspects of psychology. I even dropped the healing because I started realizing that I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry. I started realizing.
Perfect.
So I did trance healing or what's called spiritual healing, and I did Reiki, Rani, all of this kind of stuff. But I started realizing actually that I can't heal people. They can only heal themselves. I can help them feel a bit better. I can help their aura healed. I cannot heal people. They need to heal themselves. So this is why I just fell in love with Dolores Cannon's work and working with the mind and how we can, an energy of the mind and knowledge of the mind. And I know it healed me, so I know it can heal other people. So this is where I'm really focused on it now, empowering people to get their own answers and to get their own healing and to get their own empowerment. Now, that could be through current life regression, past life regression, quantum regression. It can be through mentoring, getting them to talk about it. It doesn't really matter. But it is really all about accepting why we're here, accepting our soul contracts, and working back from that. So that's, in a nutshell, how I ended up doing what I do, which was about 9 years ago I started that.
Wow. Wow. Quite a lot in 9 years. Experienced a
Yeah, it
lot.
was
Wow.
crazy. It's absolutely
Yeah.
crazy. I don't recommend that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And can we dive a little bit into your work? So, like a past life regression. Garrett has done past life regression. I have done it, so I know a little bit about it, and it was really helpful for me as well. No, for you too. So maybe you can share a little bit what kind of people come to you and what are like their issues and how you help them with past life regression.
Yeah, so in regression therapy, it's a little bit different. It's basically you just follow the emotion and wherever it lands them, that's where we need to go. It's called ISE, initial starting event. So that's really focusing on trauma release. So we all have trauma, right? We really do. But some people need a little bit of help to help heal the trauma and to clear the trauma that we're carrying in the body and our actions. So in regression therapy, you just simply say during hypnosis, let's go to the very first time they ever felt that and created that, and then you transform it. So about 60% probably go to current lives or what's commonly called inner child healing. Between 0 and 8 is where everyone creates all their trauma, all their programs. Think of like a foundation of a house. That's our foundation. So we really need to get into that foundation in order to really transform the house on top of that foundation. And then often people go into a past life because if it's created in a past life, we need to get into the past life. So I don't care where they go, past, present, future, as long as they go to the initial starting event in order first to work at that really deep level. QHHT, Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique by Dolores Cannon, is a little bit similar. She is all about healing, 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 healing. They will go to wherever they need to go in order to get their answers and healing in this lifetime. So some people go past life, some people go space, future, past, current, planets, you name it. They go to quantum experiences, which is kind of parallel lives and other dimensions. It's really out there. But then in QHHT, people get to channel their own higher selves, which holds all the information. And the body follows the mind, and the subconscious or the unconscious is the part of the body that heals and manages everything we do, everything, our nervous system, organs. So simply by connecting to that part of the mind that controls the body, we can ask it, what's going on? Why is this person sick? What do they need to do to heal this part of the body? Can it be healed? How long will it take to heal? So we carry emotions in the body, the idea of metaphysics. So that's QHHT. And then LBL, which is the other thing I focus on, is life between lives. Now, life between lives isn't traditionally healing. It's not definitely not about trauma, but our personality changes from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. As you guys know, you've done a past life. Our consciousness is made up of internal and external experiences. So who we are in this lifetime, our consciousness, is dependent on our family, our situation, what country we're in, but our soul is consistent and the same in every single life. So we choose to incarnate into lifetimes to learn, to grow, to evolve, to help other people, whatever our soul contracts are. And by really getting to know who your soul is, the consistent part of you, you can start to really understand who you are. Like, I could never understand why half of me was so spiritual and half of me was so logical. And I always felt at war with the two sides of myself. When I did an LBL and I went into my between lives and I got to really know myself, I was like, okay, makes sense now. And I could be settled and accept that part of me. So LBL, it not traditionally healing through knowledge. QHHT is just transformational out of this world. And then past lives. So I'm not a big fan of past life readings or past life journeys, things like that, because I'm always about the healing. What's needed to heal this person? What's needed to empower this person? What's needed to have the best life we can in this lifetime? So past lives can do that, absolutely. How it works is the subconscious mind likes a map. And if we can see or can show the subconscious what it's like to be happy and well, then it's more likely to achieve that. Do you know the way some people put pictures on the fridge of them when they were 20 in a bikini and they're like, that's what I want to get to again? You're showing the subconscious every single day what you want, and it's more likely to get there. So there's huge benefits from past life. We also carry it in the body.
Trina,
yeah,
so
you go.
Can I ask a quick question? Just coming to the end of all of that period of your life, can you just go back a little bit and just tell us, like, where you had these aha moments? Like, what was your first time doing past life regression, or where you know when you sat in the chair and you had these experiences, what came up for you? Like, did you get to communicate with your husband? So I just think we should.
I did actually. So the first aha moment for me was I'd had my kidney transplant. I was just home. I had loads of stitches, still really sick, two little kiddies grieving at home. And I literally heard him. Like, I heard him as clear as day, what's called objectively behind me, and heard his voice, smelt his aftershave, and I jumped. I was in such shock. And that gave me definitive 100% proof that he was there in the room. Like, my kids saw him, my kids heard him, I heard him. And that was the first aha moment, because I'm a bit of a skeptic, and I'm skeptical, and I need to quantify things. That in regards to life after death, absolutely. But when I had my first past life regression, it was fascinating. I'd say I was only probably about 6 or 7 weeks after my transplant, after he died. And I was just obsessed about speaking to him, hearing with him, anything I could to connect in with him. And my past life I went into was in ancient Egypt, actually. And I was the son of, I don't know, some pharaoh or Ramses or something. And I would just remember the male body, what it felt like to have a male body. And I could feel the jewelry on my skin. I could brown skin. I could smell spices that I haven't even smelt in this lifetime. It was just out of this world, incredible. It was so real, so real. I could hear noises, smells, everything. But I was really, really emotional in that past life. And I came out with the idea of, I know what I'm here to do. And I never really knew what I was here to do. And when we don't really know what we're here to do, how can we ever be happy? Like, if you don't know where we're going, how can we ever achieve that? So it gave me 100%, okay, know what I'm here to do, clarity on that. And I did connect to him. Yeah. So I
and
went into
sorry,
this.
You found it in this past life, this information? Okay.
100%. Yeah.
All right.
Why I love what I do. I found all the information in that one past life, everything, what I'm here to do, how to do it, why I chose to do it. And then
my question is, why was it shown to you in this past life, or what had this past life to do with this life, so that you got the information about this life in the past life?
Well, that's very correct, actually, because we're nearly always shown parallels of this life in order to see and to sense. So, like, in that past life, I felt really bad because I was watching all the slaves pulling big rocks and making the pyramid. And I remember saying, it's just not good enough for him. It needs to be bigger. It needs to be all of this. But it was an overwhelming sense of, I want to help, but I don't know how. And that's really the strong thing in this life. Okay, I'm here to help, and I just need to figure out how. So yeah, before that, I didn't know. I didn't know I was here to help people. I didn't know I was here to help myself. I didn't know how to help people. I probably would have gone back into IT. I probably would have gone back into the corporate world if my husband Barry hadn't died. In fact, I know I would have. I'd never followed this path. And I'm really grateful to be able to say I have tens of thousands of clients all around the world. I'm so grateful that I can help people and that they can help people. And like, I've been helped. So it gave me that answer. Yes, you are here to help people. You're not helpless. You can get involved. You do matter. We all matter. And I felt very helpless in that past life, seeing people hurt and whipped. And I just felt really helpless. And it just gave me that inspiration of, none of us are helpless. We can all do this. And then after the death, when I died in that life, I wanted to go to my husband, but I wasn't allowed into the afterlife. He came and kind of met me halfway in a room. And he said, it's not your time yet. You need to stay here. It's not your time to come with me. You need to stay. And that was also really beautiful, because I didn't realize that I probably had some, if I'm really honest, suicidal thoughts at the time, passive suicidal thoughts for sure. But I was kind of thinking, oh, well, if I die, just means I get to see him quicker. That's passive, you know, that's not good enough. I needed to be plugged in and go, I'm so happy to be alive. Look at everything I have around me. And I got that after the session, which is so amazing to wake up one morning and feeling like I don't want to be here, but I have to be here because I have kids to take care of. To the next
Yeah.
day, waking up thinking, I'm so freaking grateful to be alive. Oh my gosh, I love life. That happened in one session.
Wow. That is so cool because we're working with people as well, right? And there are kind of a few people here who say, oh, they don't like to be here. They don't really feel that they like earth life. They would like to transcend. In that case, we're working with them. But yeah, so I know this from many people. Yeah.
My
Yeah.
earliest first emotion was loneliness. And I, you know, I was the youngest of five, friends, you know, a lovely family. There's absolutely no reason I should have ever felt lonely. And yet I always felt lonely until I found my husband. I felt really, really lonely. And imagine this little girl every day waking up feeling lonely. It just didn't make sense to me until I had a session. And my very first coach HT session went, ah, that's why. And it's gone now. So many clients come to me for QHHT in particular, somewhat LBL, past life regression, because they just don't know why they're here. It's heavy, it's hard, it's trauma, it's you name it. And yet they chose to be here. None of us are here accidentally. So just by knowing why you're here, it's incredibly healing, incredibly helpful. And I do believe we're here to have fun. I really do. I don't think life should be as difficult as it is. I think everything should be in flow. And I think that, you know, we might as well have this incredible earthly experience while we're here. But it is very different. I know so many beautiful people all over the world, and they're very, what I call, ungrounded. They love meditating. They love connecting with their guides. They love being in the astral, out of body so much that actually the challenge is being here and being aware and being mindful and being present. So although it's an incredible world out there in the realms and the layers and meditation is beautiful, it's incredible, we are here and we need to be here. So it's always about bringing the answer back up. That's wonderful. That past life was great. But how is it going to help you now? How is it going to help you live this life? What can you do to be happy and well in this lifetime? All comes down to that, because this is where we're focused on at this time. And the in quantum physics, they say the super state is the now, not the past, not the present, the future. It's in the now. And I know Dolores Cannon, pioneer of all this kind of stuff, always said past life is for healing and for answers and for clarity, but you're still very much about how can it help them now. It's about focusing on the now. And even part of the script, as we end, we say, this is the life we're focused on at this time. She was all about bringing it into the now, which is so important, because a lot of other past life modalities, it's about experiencing a past life, but not how it relates to this lifetime. Exactly as you said, Eva, it's like, how does it relate to this lifetime? Absolutely.
Okay, I have a question. So I've done past life regression, right? I've sat down with a therapist and I've gone back through past lives, and I've kind of seen them sort of like a moving daydream. You know, I could be interactive with them and I could get messages. And then I had another series of past lives that were revealed to me where I was 100% lucid, fully 3D, as real as this place. I could, you know, I'd pick things up off the tables, walk around, and I know that I had to clear stuff, right? After I had the experience, there was an emotional release, right? But my question is, why? What, like, why does that stuff carry forward into our present life, right? If we come in basically as a clean slate, you know, and we kind of have to learn, we come in with a clean slate and the quality of our consciousness, right? We bring in from the previous life. Why does the past life have an influence? Why does that
question.
Stickiness? Yeah.
Yeah, fab question. So as human beings, we are sticky with trauma. It's just, it's other beings, other people, if you're into other planets and ETs and stuff like that, they don't have. It's very unique to humans and planet Earth. We just seem to like trauma. We crave drama. So first of all, we're more prone to looking for it. However, it's just a fab question, Garrett. So my understanding is when we die and we leave this physical death, we get healing in the afterlife. So Michael Newton describes like a process that most people go through. We do get healing and nearly everything is cleared, if not everything is cleared. And we don't even incarnate again until we've kind of learned those lessons and we're like, okay, I'm ready to go again. Life themes aren't always done in one lifetime. They can take 10 lifetimes, 20 lifetimes. It depends on the complexity. And the number one life theme that most people are working on is self-love, self-boundaries. And that tends to take an average of 7 or 8 lifetimes. Person's like, oh God, yay, next lesson, you know. So we choose, this is my understanding after thousands of sessions, we choose to incarnate with a body trauma or an emotional trauma that will be triggered in our childhood in order for us to evolve and to get that life lesson, if that makes sense. So why would somebody choose to incarnate into an abusive childhood? Loads of different reasons, but primarily it's for them to self-love, self-boundaries. It's nearly always, or to get rid of shame and guilt that they've carried for multiple lifetimes. The soul is pure and human consciousness isn't, but it's the only way our soul can learn to evolve and grow and understand emotions. So some people will say that we incarnate automatically with trauma and until we clear it in the past life. I don't believe that. More about what you're saying, Garth. I believe we choose to incarnate with trauma or situations that's going to trigger trauma from past lives in order for our soul to evolve and grow and let it go. That makes sense? Also, we remember unconsciously everything that's happened in past lives. They're just so easy to access that they're in our subconscious mind, like a file of facts. We pull them out daily, like daily we access subconscious information from past lives and childhood and the womb and all of this kind of stuff. So it's like a memory that happened to you maybe 3 years old. You don't consciously remember, but it's still there. You remember what it felt like to be left at the first day of school, to feel abandoned, to coming out the womb crying for mom, all of this kind of stuff. But when we consciously remember, then that triggers that emotion. So in this lifetime, in this consciousness that's relatively clean, when it's triggered, the emotional state, we can trigger the trauma from a past life. Hope that answers it. Does it?
Yeah. So I also help to clear past lives out of people's system. So I in general just help to clear the human system from trauma and stuck energies and stuff like that. And when I look into past lives, I only see to be able to explain which emotions are influencing this lifetime. So I'm working on an emotion in this lifetime, I clear it, and I just see the past life influence of that emotion. And then I see in this past life that emotion hasn't been transformed. So that's why it's still there after death. And that's why it can still influence this lifetime because we also have this emotion this lifetime. So yeah, it's very similar to what you shared.
Absolutely. The first question, whether it's QHHT or regression therapy, the first question we say is, what lessons did you learn from that past life? Or in regression therapy, it's what uncomfortable or negative emotions are you carrying over with you? So sometimes, like, we carry them over into the afterlife, and our guides are like, okay, you didn't quite get that in that life, right? You didn't quite. So when you're incarnating again, we want you to take over guilt, shame, blah, 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 until you get it. And we're also going to bring situations into your life, part of your soul contracts, that's also going to trigger that shame and guilt in order for you to finally release it.
Relationships and families and stuff like that, right?
Well,
And
relationship, families, work.
soul agreements, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen incredible, incredible body therapy through past lives. So some come in with a scar on their face, a birthmark, a scar from a past life, and it went, honestly, went after the session, gone. because it was an energetic scar from that lifetime. So everything in the body carries an emotion, everything. And by clearing the emotion or the trauma from past life or current life, it doesn't matter, we can clear it in this lifetime. Well, we can also use past lives to clear an emotion in this lifetime, even if it's not carried over. So let's say, Eva, you hypothetically incarnated clean, and your childhood, you witnessed a car accident, and in that car accident, you developed a fear of death, cars, whatever. Then we can even instruct your brain to bring you into a past life where you're carrying the same trauma, and we can clear it there, and then it's gone here. Because the subconscious doesn't understand time, it just understands emotions. So it doesn't matter. We can clear it the past, present, future, as long as it's cleared. So we do create a lot of trauma in our childhood that we don't realize, but we can still go back and clear it in a past life.
That's very interesting.
If I have somebody who's been sexually abused, I'm just not going to take them into a current life. You can, but I'm not going to. I take them into a past life. I resolve it there. And it's resolved here.
Okay, so does that mean when they talk about we live in multiple dimensions at the same time, is that what they mean by that? Because we tap into this, the past lives and all this information in this current lifetime too? Is that
what it's it starts that? Getting really, really crazy, and I actually fell physics in college, so it's not my forte, but everything, as soon as we understand the concept that there is no time, that it's not linear, it's all like quantum, you know, we can start understanding, oh, well, then we can access information anytime, exactly like a core. And I know myself and Julie Cannon, when we were in Greece in May, we both got this really clear image at the same time with this like almost like a core structure in source, collective consciousness, and how it feeds down information to multiple aspects of ourselves, all happening at the same time. And we access this in deja vu, dreams, meditations. So we can, exactly as you said, Eva, we can access information and feed up information to all multiple aspects of ourselves happening at the same time. It's incredible.
It's like a Russian doll almost. They're all nested one inside each other.
Exactly. The only thing I'd say is, though, like a Russian doll, there's you know, big me, little me, and so forth. This is all of us happening at the same time. We could be an animal, plant, human, a man, a woman, whatever, because it's more efficient, isn't it? Instead of having one life where we learn that at one time, why not have 10 happening all at the same time? So the soul is learning and growing.
So, Trina, would you refer to that as like an oversoul? That's feeding down into these multiple or a monad is another word that they use for it.
Yeah, great question. A lot of people call the oversoul the higher self. My understanding is that the higher self is connected to one person, and I suppose the higher self would be almost like the gatekeeper to the multiple aspects of you that's happening at the same time. But then the higher self connects to source consciousness, which is everyone, if that makes sense. But somebody's higher self or the oversoul would be in charge of that one person in multiple dimensions, but not over multiple
Okay.
people.
Okay. Okay.
Unique to you.
Okay. So let's just say I have a parallel life going on at the same time in India, right? So is that life, so let's just take me here and that parallel life that I have in India. Are we both connected to that higher self, that oversoul? Okay. So that's now, I understand better. Yeah. Okay.
So that information in India is feeding up and it's feeding down to you.
Yeah.
So isn't that amazing? Have you ever, I remember waking up one morning and I could talk about medical facts and information I absolutely never researched, never knew, like psychology. I knew that really quickly, came really easy to me. Certain other things, because I know it's not me studying them now in this realm. They're either being downloaded to me, well, they are being downloaded, but God knows where or from. Or so we can access all of this quantum realm of information bordering a little bit like psychic information. Psychics can tune in to auric fields and pick up information for other people, a little bit like that. But your own higher self is obviously psychic, and you can, yeah, I can go off on a tangent here. But this is why it's so important to be really focused on this lifetime at this time, because it can get very confusing. People can quantum jump. There's the mandala effect. There's time jumping in dreams. We can wake up being really disassociated. Where am I? Is this real? Is this not real? Especially people who are having a spiritual awakening, it can get really, really confusing. Or people who are lucid traveling, out of body experience. Is the more we're into this kind of stuff, and the more we awaken spiritually, the more important it is to ground and be really present in this lifetime. It can get very confusing. I've seen a lot of people go through psychosis because of their spiritual awakening as well.
Yeah. Yeah, then I have a very specific question, actually. So I was listening to Dolores S. Cannon's book, The Convoluted Universe, like to a few of them. And she was talking about that Earth is the only place where souls can incarnate and have the option to merge back with God. And this is why so many souls come to Earth and go through these multiple hundreds or thousands of incarnations to be then able to merge with God. And this is what Garrett and I are working on. We help people to merge back with God. And I just wanted to know, because I thought it was so fascinating. I didn't know that before. And if you have ever looked into this, and yeah, if you have any more information about this.
Well, I know that Earth is very unique because it's where the soul can evolve and grow and learn emotions. And I do believe that souls on other planets and other existences can merge back to God's source, God, whatever your understanding is. I do believe so, but they don't. So generally, when somebody incarnates onto a planet, they tend to stay there, except for Earth. So I feel this is
Nobody
my
wants to stay on Earth. They want to
Is it
leave.
that beautiful. They're so beautiful. They don't
That
really. I
bad?
mean, people who've gone to other planets in QHHT sessions, and I got a lot of clients go to other planets, they are just so happy. They just don't have the trauma and the emotions and the challenges that we have. They love the body. They communicate telepathically. If they even have a physical body, it's very different. It's not as heavy as here. So it is challenging, but they're not really evolving or growing, right? Because they have a very singular existence. This is why Dolores Cannon, one of her podcasts, saying, you know, there's a huge waiting list for souls to incarnate onto planet Earth because they want to learn emotions. I remember only a few months ago, I had a client fully in the consciousness of an alien being on another planet. And I said, how do you feel about that? And they went, what do you mean? What emotion do you feel? What's emotion? Oh God, oh my God, how could I explain an emotion to somebody who doesn't know what an emotion is? Like happy, sad, don't know what you mean. It's just like, oh my God.
Trina, what exactly is going on there when you bring someone into an alien life? What's like if the it, so my understanding is if they're here on this planet, right, and they're incarnating lifetime after lifetime here, what's happening that they're jumping into these alien lives?
So in QHHT, it's completely unique, like no other modality, because it gives permission to the client to go wherever they need to go to get their answers. So if they need answers from another planet, then that's where they'll go. If they need answers from a past life, that's where they'll go, if you get me. So many people are incarnating at this time from other planets, not traditionally from planet Earth. I know this sounds absolutely out there, right? And it's
No,
because
not us.
yeah, no, okay, good, okay. So, and it's because the Earth needs help. The Earth is going through this massive change. And if you've ever read Nostradamus, you know, this whole Armageddon kind of theory. So we do need help. We're in trouble. So a lot of ET beings or souls who have primarily incarnated onto other planets have said, do you know what? I deal with compassion. I'm very good at working with animals. I'm very good at working with energy. You can send energy into the ground, all this kind of different stuff. I'm going to incarnate onto planet Earth in order to help the people to place the animals. So this is the premise of Dolores Cannon's Wave of Volunteers. So originally, about 9 years ago, about 9 out of 10 QHHT clients would have spontaneously gone to a past life. It would have been trauma, trauma, trauma. Now, I'll be lucky even 40% go to a past life. They go to light, source, consciousness, planets, because I'm getting more and more people are awakening about where they're truly from and why they're truly here. So they go there because they need answers from there.
Mm.
It's that simple. So who are they really? What are their abilities? So when our consciousness flows to another time in another place, we also bring back elements of that consciousness into the now. And we remember what we used to do so we can do it now. And we also bring back abilities that we had then, say as that alien being, into the now. So yeah, we bring them back just by our consciousness remembering. Does that make sense?
And is it like that we incarnate as humans and then they just decide, oh, for one life I go back to my origin and then I come back again? Or is it probably we just incarnate as humans, humans, humans until we can leave that existence? And the souls you're talking about at the moment are kind of newer ones that haven't been humans for many incarnations yet, but they're kind of newer ones who come in to help, right? So that's kind of a different kind of souls. Do I understand it right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's what I call newbie souls. You can even see it in their energy field, who would be very happy living on their existence on a beautiful planet, and they're very happy there. But they've chosen to incarnate here for the first time, or possibly a second life, but it's very new. And they would be quite innocent, quite naive, trusting, beautiful, like beautiful. Exactly. But they've left just to help. Other people like me who've been here many, many times, it's because I'm either not getting it, or I still have some learning to do, or what Michael Newton calls mission-based souls. Mission-based souls aren't newbie souls. They're old souls who really probably don't really want to be here, but they've said, look, we know we can help. Planet people need help at this time. Fine, I'll come back again. So I get a lot of clients who
that was me.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There we go. That's
I was tricked back to this one.
Oh no. Mission-based souls are very interesting because they can have what I personally call soul fatigue, where the soul is tired. It's like, oh, really, do I have to? And the body follows that thought. So MS, immune system disorders, all of this kind of stuff comes from old soul beings, actually. And I've correlated, because I've just had the privilege of doing thousands of them now, I've correlated all their different colors. So out of the body, energy has different color, but each and every color have exactly the same. I put them into groups. So if somebody has gold or gold ribbons, I know they're an old soul. They're very, very old. And if they're here, if somebody with gold in their color is here, they're here to help people place their animals, but they're always going to feel driven to helping. They're always going to be a little bit different. They're probably going to be philosophical, and they're nearly always going to be a teacher or an inspirer or a leader. So, for example, Gareth has lots of orange in his color there. And I know orange is a leader, like an entrepreneur or someone who's wants to bring changes, you know, something like that. So it's.
You got me. You got me.
Mission-based souls are old, but they're still here to help 100%. And then people from other planets, they describe in sessions, they describe when I say, oh, tell me more about why you're choosing to leave that beautiful planet to Earth. And they're like, going, just decide, I'm a bit bored, time to learn, time to grow, time to evolve. Yeah. Just different
Eva,
reasons.
Eva and I, we have a friend, we both know, and he's not been human before, right? And it's his first time being in a human body, and you can really tell he's a little, I mean, an amazing person, but you can kind of get the feeling that, yeah, I can tell that this person hasn't been. I'd love to actually introduce him to you. Maybe he could
I kind of look by their color, so I see everything in color. So I go by the color, but quite often if they're so kind of like almost like a child, like innocent and beautiful and naive, they're nearly glowing blue in their early field. You know that they're a newbie. You know they are,
Oh,
and
wow.
it's a little bit like a child. To a child who comes in, even in the middle of a war zone, and they're happy playing with bubbles. You just can't help but just feeling so enlightened and uplifted about the innocence of them. So a lot of newbie souls who come in for that. Isn't it just incredible and beautiful how they see everything in a different way? And I know people in my personal opinion, people with autism are the same. They're here to change the world in a really incredible way. And my daughter is autistic, and she would see everything in a completely different way, which is so rewarding for me to be able to see through her eyes and see the world in a different way. You know, she's my teacher, she's my inspirer. So it's really amazing. We're growing in such a rapid way, and the earth is changing to match that, and we're changing to match that. It's fascinating. And in convoluted universe, she talks about hybrid souls, which is a little bit out there. I think that's a conversation for another day. But hybrid souls are going to be souls who are kind of working with ET souls or ET DNA in order for, because not every soul can physically incarnate into a human body. Think of like condensing down into like a bottle of champagne. Earth energy is very, very heavy, and the body is quite heavy. So it can be hard for high vibrational beings to fit into a physical, their energy to fit into a womb. So an awful lot of people need IVF or have difficulties with pregnancy if they're incarnating with a high vibrational being, for sure.
Wow. Just really, really quickly, you touched on this concept of souls manifesting illnesses. So I work with a lot of people who go through spiritual awakenings, right? And what seems to be a common thread among them people, a lot of them seem to get these mysterious illnesses that just show up as either before they start their spiritual awakening or during the spiritual awakening. And a lot of the time, it's something similar to MS or autoimmune diseases, right? I actually went through one myself as well, but I see it. A lot of people seem to get it. So you think this is a sort of like the soul just being really, really tired, not wanting to get involved with this earth life system again?
Either they're a mission-based soul and their soul fatigue is tired. This is just my own research, not Dolores's, and they're tired and it manifests in tiredness in the body, exactly like that. Or it's something their soul has chosen to have an experience, to learn, to grow, to evolve. I remember a medium once said to me, this amazing woman called Mavis Patilla said to me, "Boy, you've chosen your soul contracts." And I said, "Why would I choose to go through all of this?" And she said, "So I could be empathetic to other people who are going through it." So sometimes a lot of healers, a lot of inspirers like yourselves, we choose to go through something in order to understand it from someone else's perspective, to be more empathetic or empathic and compassionate. And then the other thing is, which is a lot of what Dolores Cannon talks about, metaphysics, how we carry emotions and thoughts in our body, and we carry trauma in our body. Our body is letting us know if we're on the right path, the wrong path. Our higher self will let us know when we're coming off our path. It's the last thing that we're going to pay attention to. If we're ignoring the signs, we're ignoring our intuition, then our higher selves is going to let us know in the body. We carry so much toxicity in the body. So it's one of the three. It's one of the three for like your friends or people who are going through awakening.
Eva, do you have any more questions?
I have a question. Also something I heard in Dolores's book. So because you talked about soul missions or mission souls, and she talked about that some souls, they incarnate, they have a very normal human life. There is no sense of having a mission there, but actually while they are sleeping, their soul exits the system, and then they complete their, or then they are on their mission. And I just I found this so interesting. Yeah, maybe you can share
I
some
get a
thoughts.
lot of clients like that, actually. Now, I personally wouldn't call them mission-based souls. Mission-based souls are always going to be a little bit driven in,
Okay.
and personally, I call them more like they're definitely collective beings, so ET beings, essentially collective beings who are very powerful and very intuitive, but they may not even work. They may be at home. They may have a job that we wouldn't imagine this incredible high vibrational being doing, but they're working so hard at night. Exactly. They go to sleep, they leave the body, they're doing these amazing work all around the planet. Absolutely 100%. And I've experienced those sessions, those clients' first sessions, and I've experienced those kind of sessions with clients firsthand where, and a key indicator with one of these people is they can't remember their dreams. I can't remember my dreams. I go to sleep for solid 8 hours every night and I don't even remember. I wake up, I don't remember anything. That's a really clear indication that they're working really, really hard at night and probably coming out of the body and doing all this. They normally describe they're meeting up with their team, their council, Council of 15 elders. They feedback information and data about what's happening around the planet, the news, so forth. They bring light, they activate light. Yeah, but they're working really hard. So
They wake
during
up
the,
knackered,
you
do
know,
they, Trina?
some do and some don't. But it's just so interesting. But I really know always near. So if somebody's telling me, oh, this body feels so heavy, I have cold hands, cold feet, and always some kind of neurodiversity, dyslexia, ADHD, something, I know that they're ADT or mission-based. So if they're saying to me that I can't remember any memories before 13, then they're probably what Dolores calls a walk-in. And if they're telling me that I don't remember my dreams, but I sleep a solid 7 or 8 hours every night, I know that they're working really hard at night. Exactly as you said, Eva. It's fascinating.
It is. I mean, it's probably really good for those people to know that because they probably feel, okay, there is something more in me or there is something more I do, although they have like these normal jobs, what you were talking about. And then it's probably so helpful for them to know, okay, when I sleep, I actually help or I do a lot of work. So yeah, it must be so good to know.
And some of them, I remember in particular one client, and she was saying, she just feels it's not right for her to work and just stay at home and play with the dog and rest and plant fruit or whatever she wants to do. And her husband goes and works. And she needed clarity on that because she felt quite guilty about it, because we're kind of programmed to, like, if you're not working or you're not doing something, come on, So she had a session and 100% exactly as you said, she got a very clear answer. Oh, trust me, if you knew what you did at night, yeah, no, that's your work. You rest over the day, that's your work. And their sole contracts with each other is for him to work in order for her to be able to go do that. It's amazing. She was liberated. She'd been on antidepressants since the age of 12, and I think when she came to me, she was about 30. And she stopped after the session stopped because she was so heavy with that feeling about why she's here and being lazy and not working. Ah, wow, like complete opposite of being lazy,
You just spoke about walk-ins. So there's a teacher that I came across, Drunvalo. Have you ever come across Drunvalo Melchizedek? He wrote, I think his book is called like this something Serpent. He's anyway. He talks about how his body was prepared for him by somebody else, and at the age of 13, that soul stepped out of the body, and he came into the body because he didn't want to go through all of that stuff that, I mean, going to school and, learning how to walk and talk. And so he had another
Can
soul
relate.
go in. Yeah, totally. So do you get much of that? Is that something that happens
Is a
quite a
bit
lot?
more, yeah, it's a bit more rare. It's certainly not common. I don't get a lot of them. Probably one in 200 clients maybe are walking. I mean, if somebody can't remember childhood memories, it's either profound trauma or it's a walk-in. It's one or the other. And even at that, it can be so beautiful for them to go back and see all the memories. There won't be an emotion attached to them because they weren't physically there for it. But yeah, so either they said, yeah, we're not bothered in all the mundane stuff, we want to get into the good stuff. Or They just don't, they're not ready to experience some kind of trauma event. So another soul goes, oh, come in, I'm happy to experience that. It's so efficient, like it's such an efficient way for souls to learn. And I remember consciousness as an ET recently in a session who borrowed the physical body from the age of 2 to 13 said, do you know how hard it is to prepare a soul to incarnate into a human body? They said, it is very, very hard. We have to, it was actually really interesting. We have to decrease our vibrational energy, which is hard, in order to fit into the womb and then work an entire lifetime by increasing our vibrational energy again. So, how efficient for that soul to be able to just come in between 2 and 13 and then pop out again. So, they've learned all the lessons. So, it's really, really interesting.
Wow.
But it is, this is really interesting as well. They said, and I said, but why is it always 13? Why always 13? And they said, because if we don't leave at 13, the other soul will never be able to fully integrate back into that body, which is why it's always 13.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
Yeah.
And another question, can there be two souls in one body at the same time?
I can only tell you my opinion and my research, and that's a no, because it just can't. It's just as a medium and somebody who sees energy and feels energy, I would always say no to. The only thing about that is and all the higher selves and guides and everything, they've said no, so I have to stand by that. Twin flames, have you heard twin flames? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very rare. I know Dolores Cannon didn't really believe in twin flames, but twin flames is exceedingly rare. Twin flame is where the same soul can essentially split into two bodies, and they are the same soul, they're the same DNA matrix of that soul being. If they do that, it's incredibly rare and unique, and it's come essentially from source and guides, and it's for a very, very specific reason. Usually, it's because they're here to implement a massive energetical change, and they need to do that in two different places in the planet at the same time. So no,
Okay.
I don't think that two souls can fill the same body at the same time. It also makes sense of the walk-in idea that one soul leaves and the other one comes in.
Okay, so a number of years ago, I was coming out of a meditation and I sat on the edge of my bed, or the edge of my bed, and something stepped into me. And for a moment, I got freaked out. I was like, oh my God, what was that? And then I had the information come that it was another aspect of myself that was wanting to experience the awakening experience I've been going through. Now, did it take over? Did a part of me leave? I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know I experienced it.
Oh, 100%. So that's really interesting. And you have me thinking, so bear with me. So as a medium, mental mediumship is when anyone, a guide or a loved one in the spirit world is communicating. They're communicating with me at a mental level
Yeah.
through my mind, through their mind, their energy. But as we start going down into trance, past channeling down into trance, that soul being usually guides or elders come in and they completely blend with me. So is that two souls in one? I wouldn't say it's two souls in one. I'd say my soul is still the operator of this body and this machine. But what they're doing is they're coming in and blending with me. So as I step aside, they're there. So in a way, is that two souls? Yes, I suppose it is. I'd call it more blending rather than occupying. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I suppose I've just completely contradicted myself, but I think
I've been
one soul
listening
is
to,
one driving
yeah.
seat in time, if that makes sense.
I really like the explanation of Bashar. I don't know, you probably, maybe you know him. Yeah. And he says, you match vibration. And this is then why it feels like you can, like, for example, somebody steps in, like a dead person or a soul, dead person, dead soul. And you match vibration at that time with that person and or that spirit, and that's why you get the information and all of that. So I just really like this way of describing it. Yeah.
I
Because
really like
yeah.
that too. And I'm just being shown something. Because I was saying to my guys, what the hell is going on? They contradict me all the time. So what I'm being shown is like a palette of paint. So if you mix as teachers, you probably know this, but if you mix two colors, two primary colors, to make a completely different color, they're saying it's not like that. It's like two colors coming in, and the two colors are still very separate, but they're being, like I'm seeing them being
Yeah,
swirled.
like a swirl, like a swirl, yeah.
So
Yeah.
they are together on the same palette, but they're two very, very separate. It's a blending. It's not that they're mixing to create a new one.
So are the two of them having an experience of the human through the form?
I'm getting a yes instantly, so I know it's a
Okay.
yes, but let me consciously think about that. So so I'm being told yes, but I feel it's kind of like a no. So I know when I do transmediumship, I'm completely gone. I'm like, I can't, I'm completely somnambulistic. My mind is completely somewhere else, but then they're telling me that the mind is in the soul. So I guess my soul is absolutely having this simultaneous existence with them, sharing the same body for a little while, but my mind isn't there. It's very confusing.
Okay. 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 No, no, it makes sense to me. It makes sense.
Does that
Makes
okay?
sense. Yeah. I mean, this is a great conversation. I love anything like this. So it's
Yeah,
for me, it's
I was
great.
teaching a mentorship, a spiritual mentorship group on channeling and stuff, and I openly said no to something, and then my guys instantly come in and said, no, that's wrong. It was mortifying that I had to go, I'm sorry, I'm completely wrong about this because they're telling me this.
Yeah. And
But isn't
what
that
you say,
great,
oh,
though?
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Eva.
No, I just wanted to say what you said before, Garrett, that you felt like a part of you was stepped in. I
Yeah.
just wanted to share, I had a few experiences in session with people too. So there is an aspect of them and they either pushed it away or it wasn't present for this lifetime up until now. And now they are ready to reintegrate this aspect, and then you bring it back and then they suddenly feel whole again, even though they haven't felt not whole before, but because that part is back now, they know, okay, they're whole now. So this is something maybe very similar, but that's what I've experienced
Yeah.
before. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of clients experience almost like being in the matrix. I don't know if you've heard about that. It's like, I know I'm here. I'm tasting, I'm smelling, I'm watching, but it feels like an illusion. It feels like I'm not really there. It feels like I'm here. So to me, that's almost like the soul has split. It's half there and it's half here. And until they completely reunite and be back as one, then it will feel real. I feel that's kind of what's happening, the elements of themselves being
Yeah.
in places at the same time.
And Trina, when you're working with your clients, you mentioned your guides. So do you have a team of guides that come in and work with you? And okay. And how do
Always.
they present themselves? Because we've had a few people on now in the past, and they work with like ascended masters, right? This seems to be a really common theme with healers, ascended masters. How do they present themselves to you?
So I don't work with ascended masters at all. To be honest, I personally don't resonate with the idea of ascended because it's there's not tiers. It's all just one, you know. I just work with a team that I trust implicitly. So I was really surprised how easy it was to connect with them the very first time I started developing my mediumship and my trance. They used to appear to me in a very physical form and a shape and a language and a personality type. And that's what I needed at that time. Now I just feel it's like a team, and I hear their voices.
A day. Is it a day? Just
it's a day, exactly. It's like
yeah.
they, because I've lost my personal need to be able to have to identify them as a certain being. I don't mind. I know they're there. I don't even have a name for them anymore. I've lost the need to have a name for them. And it, to be honest, it probably works better for me. And like you just saw earlier, they just popped in really quickly, you know. But I'm very kinesthetic with them. I feel them very much with my hair, nervous system, blah, blah, blah. So I know when they're there, I know when my husband's there, I know when my mum is there. It feels very different to me. They have less of a personality now, as they're working more with a team. So in sessions, I get more information about them, where they'll appear in a more physical form, should I need them to, because they're energy. They don't have a physical body anymore. They're not the same person they were 1,000 years ago. I do believe that people work with, like say, for example, Christ consciousness, like the consciousness and the energy of X, and we can pull and access and use that vibrational energy. But I remember the very first time I connected to what's called an elder, like a guide of a guide. He looked like Gandalf. It was very funny. And his vibrational energy was so high that I just vomited out of the table. And what all over. It was mortifying. And even now,
Wow.
every time I tried to connect with him again, I feel physically sick for days after. Before I'm even teaching channeling, my whole throat goes because, like, when mental mediumship and channeling, they're talking more at this kind of level. When we start going down into what's called trance mediumship, Bishar, for example, will start going down, down, down. And they're coming in to communicate. They don't just blend with our mind, they have to blend with our energy, our meridian points, our chakra. They have to blend with every aspect of ourselves. That takes a long, long time for them to learn how to get through our filters and for us to learn how to surrender and allow them to get through our filters. So that takes a little bit longer. But yeah, so I suppose I have a team. I've met a team of what's called elders or a team of 12, but my so
How
the
do
very
you,
first
how, yeah, sorry, I just want to know, how do you perceive them, or how do you communicate with them? Do you see them? Like, do you have visions, or do you have a knowing, or how do they present
so
themselves to
they'll
you?
tap my shoulder when they
Okay.
physically tap it, and I get a kind of
Oh,
like
really?
neurological response, like a hair goes on end, shivers up my back, that kind of thing when they step in. I have a really strong sense of awareness if it's a man or a woman, or if it's sometimes it's more beneficial for one to communicate at that time. Like if I ask them to show themselves, they're very polite and they will. Like right now I'm seeing like some kind of Native American, because it's like a little band around with a big feather and then a feather behind the feather. They will, but that's because they're being polite. That's a human thing that I want to see them. I don't need to, if that makes sense. When they're speaking more of a team, it comes down almost like a telephone conversation almost. It comes down in a stream of consciousness and thoughts and images and visuals and space and all this
Like a
kind of.
packet of information, is it, Trina?
Exactly. But we can't always perceive it consciously at the time, and then it just keeps continuing to filter down. So this is why I love QHHT and LBL, because we can ask questions back and get more information. So why are you seeing? Why are you seeing that? Why is the feather? Why two feathers? What does that mean? We can get more information. So yeah, it's fascinating. In my very first QHHT session, I went to meet my soul went into where what I do in the afterlife, which isn't much fun. And after that session, I went, I'm never doing another session as long as I live. I was very, very upset about it because I didn't have a soul team. I didn't have a soul group like most people would have. I have a working group. I work in the afterlife. So it was like a panel of seven, what some people call blueprinter, where they create energy, they create all this kind of stuff. So that team is quite different. That's a team of seven, but there is a hierarchy. So, and I was asked this in a recent session of my own, they said, is there a hierarchy? And they will say no, absolutely is. So, no, we're all one, but there is a hierarchy. We are answerable to someone, something. And very few clients go to source, very few, but when they do, just profound. A client yesterday in the session just went through an image of Golden Gates and just burst out crying because it's just profound unconditional love every time. So incredible. Wait till you guys get
Beautiful.
beautiful.
Yeah. I have one more question. So you were saying that you experience your husband and your mother. So are they still like in a between life, or where are they? Do you know? Where are they at the moment?
Do you know the very, I really absolutely. I read this book called by Barry Eaton, and he's English living in Australia, and he has various different books, but one of which is called The Afterlife. And after my transplant, I went in looking for all information, and the book, I mean, literally flew off the shelf, literally onto the ground. So I bought that book where he started discussing how reincarnate again and again and in multiple existences. I got really, really upset thinking, but when I die, I want him to be there. Is he not going to be there? And I got really upset about it. And a lot of real beautiful, like Mavis Patella, Tobin Stockwell, all these, Gordon Higgins, and all these kind of spiritualist people. They say that they don't go anywhere until we die and they meet us. Now, it is my experience in sessions, both my own and clients, that our loved ones are always, 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 always there, even our pets, when we die to meet us. It's just the case they do. But I also know that they incarnate before we pass as well. So this brings back to what we were saying earlier, Gareth, about how we can have multiple quantum existences at the same time. So I absolutely know and trust 100% that everyone's loved ones and their animals will be there when we die this physical death. Absolutely. And I also have seen soul groups meet and discuss how the whole soul group, usually 15, is going to incarnate again and for what purpose and what roles they're all going to play in each other's lives. So absolutely, we do this as a team for the most part.
Yeah,
Beautiful.
and the time difference between a life here and a life when you're in between lives, right? 80 years here is the equivalent, at least it was shown to me, it's 20 minutes in between lives, right? So I mean, what's hanging around another 5, 10 minutes to wait for, you know, I mean, if you look at it that way, I mean, why wouldn't you wait to meet who's ever on the other side?
Do you know, we're always supported and they don't leave anywhere. And this is why I can't stand personally when mediums say, oh, they've incarnated, they're gone, they're not here for you. And then someone's like going, oh, great, that's lovely. So I've lost them twice. Oh my God, they're always there. Remember that there could be multiple planes. I'm really not a big fan of this concept of earthbound spirits because they can be in multiple places at multiple times. It's hard for a human consciousness to understand it. They don't have a physical body, though they can be in multiple places at multiple times, having this multiple existence. They are uber intelligent, and our subconscious is so incredibly intelligent. However, where we put our energy to is what we will get. So if we put our energy to a guide or a time, a space, our loved ones, they will be there because that's where our energy is focusing on at that time. They also have no time, so time doesn't exist to them outside the physical body,
Yeah.
just meditation, it doesn't exist. So they will stay there as long as we need to. I remember a lot of mediums would say, kind of the spiritualist kind of train of thought often is they don't really believe in reincarnation, or they certainly don't endorse reincarnation and or past lives or things like that, because it's not evidential now. I'm not spiritualist, I'm just spiritual. But again, it's not my understanding of that now at the moment. So I have seen in sessions people saying we need to incarnate right away. This person needs our help. All of us, come on, let's go. It depends. So if as a mission-based soul, Gareth, you would probably want to incarnate pretty quickly back again. It should you choose to incarnate back to help people. Whereas somebody who is learning, evolving, growing, healing as a soul, they're going to want to take their time there because they're going to need to process all that life's information and then understand what they're going to learn next and then incarnate. So that takes a little more longer, in my experience. I know.
Fascinating.
Yeah, totally.
Fascinating. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Anything else, Eva? Any more questions?
Yeah, there was one more. So this is the last question I have. I think then we have to, time-wise, we have to stop.
Yeah, we have a few minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I know that every generation who incarnates they have a higher vibration. Also, Earth has a higher vibration at the time than it was like 5 or 10 years ago or 50 years ago. So the new souls that are coming in are always high vibrational, and the quality of them is different. So I'm just curious because every generation is different. So the newborn that are coming in at the moment, so what's like their quality, or how are they different from, like, let's say my generation and then older generations? Do you have any idea about that?
So personality, how would they be different? They tend to be more innocent, more naive, more compassionate, more bubbly, more energetic. In regards to abilities, spiritual ability, every single one will have some profound ability. One ability, they either be very psychic, very mediumistic, they will astral travel very easily, they could come out of body really easily, they might have very lucid dreams. Some of them are very telekinesis. I've seen objects move in front of my eyes with some clients, you know, glass going across the room. I mean, they will have some very unique, profound ability. As I said, I have them have neurodiversity in some shape or form. And sometimes they can really struggle. Like they really can struggle with human emotions. They just, it sounds like, I don't understand why people are mean. Why do people hurt each other? They will really be very sensitive with animals as well. So they won't even be able to watch animal cruelty on TV or Facebook. They just won't understand. Whereas an older soul may still be very upset by it, but we'll understand, you know, it'll be like, yeah, humans can be hard, you know. They'll just be like, I don't understand, how could people do this, you know. That, to me, that's the difference in their spiritual selves and their personality.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. Thank you.
Amazing. Trina,
Yeah.
this has been fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Great
Amazing.
questions as well. Great thought provoking.
Yeah. So Trina, to tell us just a little bit about where people can find you. We're going to link everything down below, but just for those watching and listening, how can people get in contact with you?
Sure, yeah, a very original website name called trinasheeran.com, Instagram, Facebook, trinasheeran.official, and YouTube, Sheeran Trina, I think, is on my YouTube. They're all undergoing a massive big maintenance construction thing here, but they're still up and about.
And do you work with clients online? So if we've got a big base around the world, they're not just local here in Ireland, and can
Can I
people
just say
reach you and
it's
do sessions?
amazing that the two of you are providing. Oh, it's just beautiful. I love what you do. Yeah, so QTC is in person only. Dolores Cannon absolutely said in person only, completely understand why. That's in person only. I do very mentoring, I teach channeling, so forth. That's all on Zoom. I do live retreats all over the world, some in Ireland, some abroad. And then LBL can be done online as well. And past life regression, I do that online as well. So, yeah, so probably I do
Wonderful.
more online actually than in person.
Okay, wonderful. And
Great.
we'll put a link to everything down below. It's been fascinating. Eva, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and sharing all your wisdom with us, because it was so interesting, and yeah,
Very
I
interesting.
really, really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Thank
Such a
you
great
so much.
conversation.
Thank you. And you know, I just believe no matter what people do, no matter how they do it, there's not one teacher for everybody, not one student for everyone. There's not one modality for everyone. You know, we'll each resonate to what we feel right is at that right time. But we are all here to feel empowered about this incarnation in this body in this time. And really, it's about just being as well and happy as we can be. Like Earth can be so much fun, and it really is about trying to be as fun and helping, yes, but as fun as we can.
Yeah, great that you say that. That's very
Brilliant.
important. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Trina.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you,
Thanks for
Trina. Thank you,
okay. Thank you,
Gareth.
Eva.
Thank
Okay.
you, everybody,
Take
for
care.
listening.
Bye bye. Bye bye.